Father, I love you. I thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for being good to us, Lord. I thank you for allowing Heartland to steward so much of what you're doing in the world. And Lord, it's humbling. You know, we were just talking about CSA and just all the different outreaches. We got VBS coming up. And Lord, you are bringing the lost world to us. Not even, I mean, you call us to go to them, but yet you're bringing them to our doorstep. And Lord, I pray that we are ready and willing to receive them and to just do what you've called us to do, and, you know, until you come back. And Lord, I pray for just the details of CSA. I pray for the hearts of people who, you know, may have been, you know, going back and forth on whether I should or shouldn't help or whether I could or couldn't help. And Lord, you know, today is the day to get involved. And so, you know, if not, you know, we'll go to battle with the faithful 300. But, you know, Lord, you're going to give the increase to the entire camp, you know, but Lord, we just need to all be willing to be a part of it. And so, Lord, I pray for all the details of Church in the Park that are coming up. And, you know, there's so many things that we're doing, and, you know, we can be weary and well-doing, but Lord, I pray that we are just, we're just chasing after the prize, and you are the prize. And so, and I pray that no matter what, you're getting the glory for all of it. And so, Lord, I do pray for the Shipley family. Is, you know, it's getting close to being time to, you know, see, you know, the little baby girl. And I pray that things go well with the delivery and all the things that go into that. I praise you for a body who has been so faithful to get together on Wednesday nights and pray and just all the things that are going on. And Lord, I just pray that you get the glory for all of it. Speak to us today as we get back into the book of Acts. And I pray that you would just convict us just allow us to be where you've called us to be, in Christ's name. Amen. All right, if you got your Bibles, open up to Acts chapter 3. This is where we're at. My goal is to get through the entire chapter today. We'll see how that goes. I don't know. We'll see. So just so you know, the next several weeks, next week we'll be back into the book of Acts. The week after that is Church in the Park, so obviously we won't have class. And then there's a few weeks in June that then I'll be out for different reasons. And so, you know, there'll be some opportunities for some guys to step up and teach. And so anyway, I just let you know, it's summertime. Everybody's got different things happening, but I pray that we're staying focused on what we need to be focused on. But anyway, if you will remember, I was thinking about this morning. I told you that I wanted to teach Acts a long time ago, and I wanted to, but then I just couldn't bring myself to it. And I told you it was because, one, I wasn't sure that I was 100% ready for it. I've taught Acts and HBI, or at least part of it. I finished up the class for somebody. But it's not that I don't know the doctrine, but just it is my job, and I take it very seriously, to shepherd the flock of Passpoint. And, you know, there's sleepless nights. There's hours upon hours of meetings and doing this and that and the other. And, you know, Paige and I take it very seriously what we're doing. And it wasn't that I didn't know doctrinally what the book of Acts was going to call us to do. And it wasn't that, and this is what I think a lot of people thought when I said that. It wasn't that there's some doctrinal things that can be confusing, because there are some doctrinal things that can be confusing. We talked about one of them last week where we, you know, sometimes you kind of get the cart ahead of the horse of baptism before salvation, and then trying to understand that whole thing. And go back and listen to that last week if you want some clarification on that. And but anyway, it's not just that there's some harder doctrinal things. One of the biggest reasons that I personally wasn't ready to teach the book of Acts was because I know some of the things that the book of Acts says. And I know that throughout the book of Acts, it can seem repetitive, almost ad nauseum, for somebody who's hearing it, about stop trying to get me to just go and share the gospel with people. And eventually people get tired of hearing that. Eventually people are like, can we talk about something else? Well, I knew when we got into the book of Acts, there was going to be a lot. Because you know what they did in the early church? They went and they shared the gospel with people, and people got saved, and lives were changed, and churches were started, right? And you know, not only households, but entire families, entire cities were turned upside down for the gospel. Why? Because they were faithful to preach the gospel. And yet I knew, as we got into the book of Acts, that it wouldn't take very long before it seemed like, man, it seems like every single week we're talking about going and sharing the gospel, going and telling people about what's going on in my life. And so I just wanted a little bit of clarification, because that was one of the reasons that I was like, I wasn't sure that we were ready, and I wasn't sure that I was ready. And so even now that we're in it, I'm like, I hope you guys are ready, because it's going to feel like over the next, I don't even know how long it's going to take to get through the book of Acts. the next year, let's just say year. We can laugh when I say it'll take a year to get the rest of the way through the book. Let's just say that over the next year, as it takes to teach through some more of the book of Acts, it's going to feel like we are constantly prodding you to take one more step of faith, to give just a little bit more, to go just a little bit farther, to talk to just one more person, because you know what? That's what they did. And it's my job to just exhort what's in the Word of God. And so I don't want you to feel like I'm trying to twist anybody's arm. I understand what it's like to be busy. But I also understand what it's like to be convicted to know that why couldn't I? Not why shouldn't I, but why couldn't I? Right? And so I'm just throwing that out there. So okay, Acts chapter 3. So we come out of Acts chapter 2. It's the day of Pentecost. All the crazy things that happen at Pentecost. And you know, Peter finally gets up and he preaches to this whole group of people, and he calls them out for their disbelief. And the chapter ends with, you know, in verse 47, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily as such should be saved. Can you imagine if the Lord was adding to HBF daily, if there were people getting saved daily? I honestly think that it's a pretty good bet that people are getting saved around here weekly. And we're already struggling to keep up with all the disciples that are going on. Like, as the pastoral team, we're like, do you know who this person is? This person signed up for D1. Do you know? And they're like, you know, one of the, oh yeah, that's so-and-so. And it's like, we're having a hard time keeping track of everybody. Praise the Lord. Can you imagine if this was a daily thing? And not that we're not doing it daily, but I'm just saying, people getting saved on the daily, giving their life to Christ, just completely buying all in, you know. And I'm like, man, if there were a few more people like, you know, Leanne around here, we might be daily. This lady is like bringing new people to church every single week. It is so convicting to me. And I'm not puffing her up. I'm just, her evangelistic spirit, her boldness to just tell people about Christ. So anyway, that leads us into chapter 3. And now things are kind of switching a little bit. We get back into, you know, the life of Peter and some of the things that he is doing. And so most of you have heard this story. It's the story where Peter and John are going to the temple, and the beggar at the beautiful gate, you know, calls out to them. And, you know, Peter basically, you know, stops what he's doing. And he says, you know, I don't have any money to give you, but you know what I do have? I have Jesus. And he basically calls him to stand and to be healed. Not that we have healing power. Don't get me wrong. That's not what I'm saying. And the guy, you know, leaps up and he's walking and he's dancing and, you know, anything. If any of you know who Matt Franklin is, one of my favorite Matt Franklin songs is a song called The Beautiful Gate. I still listen to it probably at least once a week, about this story. So that's kind of what's going on. And then the things that follow after. And so let's just read a little bit about this, and then we'll get into it. If you, are after a title, I'm just going to give it to you. It says, the title is, What's It Going to Take? What's It Going to Take? What is it going to take? That's your title for today. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 1, it says, Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, at the hour of prayer being the ninth hour. What's the ninth hour?
3:00.
Yeah, 3:00 in the afternoon. Okay. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb. We don't know this guy's name, but he's had this whatever problem with his legs his entire life. It says he was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. It was capital B, not because it's referencing Jesus, but this is an actual place. One of the gates in Jerusalem was, the title of this gate was the Beautiful Gate. I'm sure it was fairly beautiful, but that was actually just the name of it. And so that's why it's capitalized. It says, it's called Beautiful. To ask alms, excuse me, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. Right? And so that's kind of where we start this whole thing. And this guy, he's brought daily to this place. Why is he brought here daily? Who's bringing him? It doesn't really say, but somebody's bringing him daily. I would say that the reason that they're bringing him to this place is because it's the entering of the temple. There's a lot of people coming in and out, right? And I'm telling you, if you're after tugging at somebody's heartstrings, religious people, those are the ones to go for, right? It just is. I'm just saying, like, if you're after, you know, trying to get somebody to give to something that they don't even really know about, go after somebody who is quote unquote religious, right? And That's not new news to the world, right? They know where to try to go and to get these things. And so this guy, who knows how much money he's making daily. He can't walk. You know, there's no sustainability in what he's doing. You know, there's no public welfare system at this point for him to live his life by. And so he's trying to figure out. He's just living. He's surviving. Now, who's bringing him in and out? I don't know. I guess we can ask Jesus when we get there. Maybe we can ask this guy when we get there. You know, who was it that was bringing you in and out? But anyway, that's the scenario. And Peter and John, they come walking into the temple, and this guy, he's begging. He's giving his spiel. He's doing his thing, right? And Peter, he's like, I think I need to say something. And so here's what we're going to look at today. I've got five questions that will help reveal to you what it's really going to take in your life to go one more step, right? Because that's what the question is. What's it going to take, right? And so we're going to look at five different questions as we just read through this passage. You can ask yourself. These are just things for you to think about. Five questions that you can ask yourself that will actually reveal what it's actually going to take. That'll help you reveal what is it going to take to get there. And so the first question, as we see in the first three verses that we just read, I'm sorry, verse 3 said, who's seeing Peter and John? I read that. And he's asking of them. And so here's the first question that you can ask yourself. Who does the Lord, and make sure you understand that it's the Lord. It's not coincidence or anything else. Who does the Lord bring into my daily life that's begging for help? It might be daily. It might be a few times a week. It might be somebody that is recurring over and over again in your life. Who is it that the Lord is bringing into my daily life? Daily doesn't have to mean every single day. I mean, you might argue that. Okay, so my weekly life that is begging for help. Now, I'm not specifically talking about, you know, a handicapped person. I mean, this man was, it says that he was broke. He was broke down, or these are things that I would assume of him anyway. He's begging. He's lame. He's poor. He's outcast. He's helpless. He's willing to receive anything. Now, who is it that God's bringing into your life daily that is broke down from the world, that is poor in spirit, at least? They might have all the money in the world, but I tell you, there ain't enough money in the world to fill the void in their life. That is helpless. How many times have you met somebody that you can just read on their face that they are helpless and they are hopeless? They have nowhere else to go, nowhere else to turn. So they're trying every different thing to fill that void, whether it's drugs, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a relationship that they know is not good for them, whether it's this, that, or the other. And you see them every day. And you're probably annoyed by them every day. Somebody you work with, somebody that is just like, they are different than me. I want nothing to do with you. You know that I know about Jesus, and you want nothing to do with it. You mock it. And you just know that this person is poor and broke down and just hopeless. Who is it that God just brings into your life all the time? All the time. And you might be like, well, I'm not around that many people. I'm not either, right? I work mostly by myself. Brian and Brenton work with me, right? And so there's days that they're poor and broke down, but, you know, for the most part, I'm kidding. But what I'm saying is, you know, you might not have a job where you work around a whole lot of people, but I'm telling you, throughout your week, there are people that you see on recurrence that it's not just a coincidence that God lets you run into this person over and over again, right? Another parent that hangs out with, you know, your kid, or right, or their child hangs out with your kid, or, you know, somebody from school, somebody from, you know, who knows what it is, from church, that you can tell is poor and broke down. Who is it that just daily, over and over again, and you're like, here's why you don't talk to them, because you know they need something. You know that they want something. You know that, like, if I take the time to stop and talk to this person, it's going to cost me something. I was really convicted about this, and typically, I should be convicted, because typically I completely avoid situations like this. But it was Thursday night. We were running late to a visitation and a funeral. Can you believe it that Paige and I were running late for something? I know, it's shocking. We were running late. My truck was out of gas or fuel, like it always is. Anytime I need to get somewhere in a hurry, I got to stop and get fuel. I stop, I fill the truck up, I'm in a hurry, and wouldn't you know it, the receipt doesn't print. And I got to have my receipts because, you know, I run a business, and so that's all. So I have to go inside. That's the last thing I want to do. I want as little contact with people as possible. Don't you know me? Right? And so I've got to go inside, and I've got to get the ticket, and I'm in a hurry to get out. And wouldn't you know it, I can see him coming out of my peripheral. Some guy, he's like trying to come and cut me off. He's like, hey, man. and I wanted to just keep walking because I knew where this was going. You know, we've all heard it. And I just couldn't. I couldn't keep going. So I stopped. You know, and it's the same story. We've all heard it. I'm trying to, you know, get a night's stay. I've got to go to work tomorrow. I'm going to get paid after. It's always something, right? And you know, my answer typically is like, "Sorry, bro, I ain't." And I'm convicted just because of some of the things that I've been reading. I'm convicted about some of the things that God's showing me. And you know, He's like, "I've got so much. I just need, you know." And so here's what I did, and I should be really convicted about this because I would have been better off not giving Him anything. I pulled out my wallet, I gave Him $5, and I said, "God bless you, man." And I turned because I was late and I had to go. And I didn't get halfway across town, and God was like, "You could have completely missed what you were going to if you would have done what you were supposed to do." And I was just convicted. Because, that's just a one-time scenario, and I'm not here to try to tell you that you need to give money to every person who's, you know, asking for money. Typically, that's not what I do at all. It was easier. That's the problem about that situation. It was easier for me to give money than time, right? And I think we can all relate to that at some point in our life. It was easier for me to give money than time, because what he needed was my time, because my time would have had the gospel attached to it. But instead, I was just like, "Here's $5. I got to go. I hope you get what you need. God bless you, man." And it was convicting. So who is it that God's bringing into your life on the daily, right, that is just needing something? And you know that they're needing something. And you know that if you took the time to meet them where they're at, it's going to be exhausting, right? And the reason that you don't follow through is because you know, it's not that I don't have the time, I don't want to give the time. Because we all have the time, we just choose to use it for other things. We all have the money, we just choose to use it for other things. We all have the resources. It's not that we don't have it, we just choose not to give it. Who is it that God is bringing into your life? That's the question, like, because that's the story. Who is it that God is bringing into your life that you know is like, this person needs something? And what you'll find out soon enough is money isn't what they need at all. Money has nothing to do with what they actually need, right? They need you to stop being so consumed, and I'm speaking to myself, stop being so consumed with yourself to realize that there's a lost world that's dying and going to hell all around you. And we're so consumed with, "I need to get here. I've got to be there. I've got to do this." And what we don't realize is these people are going to look at us at the great white throne if the gospel doesn't get to them any other way. And they're going to say, "Why didn't you?" Right? We got to be serious about it, guys. Who is it that the Lord brings into my daily life that is begging for help? Let's read on in verse 4. And it says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him. I think that's interesting. Eye contact, right? Again, another thing that I probably learned more from Vinny Nigro when I spent the week with him at the Vision Conference was, man, eye contact can be intimidating. That guy's for real about what he's doing. And when you talk to him, like, he stares you in the eye, like stares into your soul. And I'm just like, and I like to make eye contact with people, and it made me uncomfortable. And I'm just like, do I stare back? At some point, I feel like, you know, this might become romantic, and I'm not into that. So, like, I'm kidding, Vinny. But no, it's convicting because eye contact, it tells people that you're engaged, right? It tells people that you are listening to what they're saying. And so anyway, it says that Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." He says, "Look at me." And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. He's like, oh, they want me to look at him. He's probably going to give me something, right? This guy's a beggar. He's asking alms. He's asking, you know, for anything. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee." I'm trying really hard not to sing this because this is the bridge in Matt Franklin's song. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Can you imagine what this guy's thinking at this point? I haven't walked a day in my life, right? I have never even come close to have the ability to do that. And you are looking at me and saying, rise up and walk. I mean, just think about what has to be going through this guy's mind at the moment. right? He has to be thinking, are you mocking me? Right? Are you making fun of me? Is this some sort of joke? Why? Rise up and walk. So what happens? It says Peter, he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and it wasn't until then, immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. The guy could have never taken Peter's hand. The guy could have said, are you making fun of me? Right? What is this all about? It says it's not until that he takes his hand and lifts him up that immediately his feet and ankle bones received their strength. And he, because this is what anybody would do if they've never walked in their life, they're going to start leaping, jumping for joy, man. He's excited, leaping and stood and walked and entered with him in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Because, man, if you had never walked a day in your life and all of a sudden you could do it, I promise I'd be doing jumping jacks too. I'd be like, look at me. Look at what I can do. I know you've been able to do it your whole life, but watch. I think that's what new Christians do sometimes. They get saved and they're zealous. And they're like, I'm going to tell everybody around me about Jesus. I'm going to bring everybody I know to church. Right? I'm going to go and do all the things. That, you know what they're doing? They're doing jumping jacks because they've never had legs before. They're like, look at what I can do. You might have been able to do this the whole time you've been saved, but I'm going to keep doing it. Right? I mean, and we talked about this last week. Why do we end up losing that zeal? I don't know. But that's what new Christians do because they've got this new gift and they want to show everybody that they know about it. The second question that might just help you understand what it's really going to take is, what do you have to give? What do you have, not half? What do you have to give that can make a lasting impact into a broken world? Like, what do you personally, what do you have to give that can make a lasting impact into a broken world? You could be the richest person in the world. I don't even know who that is. They're all the same, if you ask me. But, and I promise, giving money to everybody, that's just going to make things worse. Money is not what people need. That's not where people are at. What do you have to give that can actually make a lasting impact? There's not enough money in the world to change the circumstances of people's lives. And I know you might be thinking, well, I'm telling you, a little bit of money might help. I'm just telling you a little bit of diligence might help too, but you know, in just in general. Anyone here able to heal or do miracles? I mean, if you can, I might call you up every now and then, right? We can't do that either. This is a different, right? They're transferring out of the dispensation. They're just getting into the new dispensation. God's allowing them to do things that by the end of the book of Acts aren't even real anymore, right? The gift of healing, you know, the gift of, you know, miracles. Not that God can't do miracles. I can pray for miracles all the day long and ask God to do them. But I personally, I can't do them. And so I don't have that to give to anybody. I promise I don't have enough money to help anybody with anything. I mean, Jesus is all that we have to offer a broken world. Right? That's honestly, that's all that you have. Thinking about who is it that God just keeps bringing into your life. I promise, the only thing that you have that is of any worth to them is Jesus. Right? Your kindness, it's really not that kind. Sorry. Right? Your humility, it's pretty fake. Because everybody in here struggles with pride. Right? Everything that we think we have going for us that might help somebody else, you only are able to do those things temporarily through Christ anyway. The only thing that you have to offer anyone is Jesus himself. And if you try to fill that void with anything else, you're hopeless. They're hopeless. The church is going down the tube fast if we think that we can do something. Right? We're going to have 300 or 400 people show up for 5 Saturdays in a row out back. And you know what we have to offer them? I promise, not that Sam's not really good at soccer. Right? But it's not the greatest soccer camp in the world. Although there's parents that just keep telling other parents, that keep telling other parents that you should come because the soccer is really good. But anyway, we have Jesus. We have something that we can offer them that's more than screaming at their kids to do better, about fighting for the next roster spot, about trying to figure out how we can cut somebody else's throat so that we can be better. We're going to have these people knocking on our own doorstep, right? You know what we have to offer them? Jesus. You know why they keep coming back? Jesus and sometimes soccer, right? But they're not confused when they come about what's going to be happening. I mean, hey, you're going to sign up on a church's website for a soccer camp that's called Christ Soccer Academy. I wonder if they're going to talk about Jesus there. Man, I hope not. Right? What do you think they think they're getting into? And yet they still come. Why? Because we're different. Because we care. Because you can actually do fun things in the world and Jesus be a part of that. I know, that's shocking to some churches. It's crazy. Right? You can have a good time and Jesus be a part of it. And it's nuts. Even on a Friday night. Did you know that? Right? Just saying. We steward our own time, talent, and treasure. I mean, do you guys realize that? We just taught this in D1 a few weeks ago, you know, talking about the giving lesson. But everybody thinks about giving. They're like, oh, they just want my money. And bro, I'm telling you, your time is just as valuable, probably more valuable than your money. It is for me. Right? Because it just is. Because I've only got so many minutes. God can just keep blessing, you know, my money. If I just trust Him and just keep being diligent, God just keeps taking care of that. He hasn't blessed me with more minutes in the day. Right? He's yet to do that. And so, that's the one that's hard for me to steward. Right? But you are the one who gets to steward that. You get to decide what you do with your time, talent, and treasure. So here's a bonus question for you. This isn't one of the five, but here's a bonus question. Because sometimes you just need a little bonus in your life. Talking about your time, talent, and treasure. Are you giving them or are you guarding them? Are you giving them or are you guarding them? Because there are some people that when somebody asks for their time, talent, and treasure, they have safeguards in place. Oh no, I have this. Oh, I have that. That day's blocked off for this. This time's blocked off for that. That, you know, bucket of money, it's saved for this. It's for that. I'm just saying, are you giving them or are you guarding them? I don't know. That's convicting to me, guys, because I try to block out certain things in my life. I try to block out days sometimes for different things, and God's like, okay, conveniently enough, every new thing that comes along just happens to be on that day, and God's like, hey, what are you going to do now? Right? It's kind of like drawing the lines in the sand for God, you know? What do you think He's going to do? He's going to bring you directly to the line and say, now what? How far are you really willing to go? Okay, yeah, I will, right? And so that's what I'm saying. Are you giving them or are you guarding them? You get to steward your time, talent, and treasure. You have to decide what you're going to do with them. I really thought I was going to get farther than this. Like, I didn't even make a joke about it at the beginning because I'm like, this isn't really that much. We're just going to roll through it. It's going to be great. And I'm going to prove some people wrong. Yeah, it didn't happen. Okay, the third question, and we'll be done for today, and we'll wrap this up next week, I guess, before Church in the Park the following week. Verses 9 to 12. So this guy, he gets up, he's jumping, he's walking. It says, and all the people saw him walking and praising God. This guy's been begging for a long time. So they know this guy. Now all of a sudden he's walking and they're like, man, he took me. Right? Man, I got played. I've been giving this guy like a penny every day and now here he is walking, right? That's the first thing you'd think. Like, what happened? I got played. That's the last thing you want to do. You got a homeless guy or homeless gal, somebody begging for money, and you know, you're like, you feel bad for him. You're like, yeah, I got some extra money. You give it to him, you come driving back by 5 minutes later, and you know, they got a brown paper sack. I'm like, man, what am I funding here? And not that every person that's asking for money is like that, but I got played. That's what I would feel like. That's what these guys are thinking. The people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew it was, they knew that it was he which had sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at which it had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, meaning he was not getting away from these guys. They had done something in his life that they were like, I'm going to hold to this. They might do something else really cool in my life. I'm sticking to this guy. It says they held. I lost my spot. Hang on. And the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, and all the people ran together into them, into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, everybody marveling, right? He answers unto the people and he says, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us as though by our own power or holiness we had made this lame man to walk? And then he goes on, and we'll get into it next week. But he's like, why are you so amazed? Didn't you just see what happened in the last chapter, right? Didn't you see what happened yesterday or the day before, or whatever day of Pentecost was, however many days before it was this, right? Didn't you see? Why are you so amazed? The third question that you can ask yourself that might help you answer what it's really going to take is, who are you giving the glory to for the victories in your life? Who is it that when something good happens, who is it that you're giving the glory to? And I understand, like when somebody, if you have the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ in this room, we're like, yeah, praise the Lord, God did all the work. And that's not what I'm talking about. You guys know the church answers. Like, I'm not here to try to teach you the church answers. You learned that in the E-Wing, right? And if nothing else, you teach that in the E-Wing, right? Jesus is the answer, right? And everything else revolves around that. Just ask the little shepherds. They'll tell you. Ask them a question. Jesus, right? More often than not, that's going to at least be close to the right answer. But who are you giving the glory to for all the victories in your life? Philippians 4:13 says, I can do, you know, most things through Christ, right? Actually, that's not what it says. He says that I can do all things, but he doesn't say that I can do all things because I'm saved. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The only way that you can do anything in your life, the only way that you're actually here on time-ish, right, for most of us today, is because God allowed you to get out of bed this morning. And he allowed your car to actually make it from point A to point B, right? And he allowed everything to work out just right in your favor for you to be here. You can only do anything because of him. But yet, we only, for the big things, we're like, oh yeah, praise God that I got that new job, right? Or praise God that, you know, this big thing happened in my life. Or praise God that this happened. Or, you know, I'm just saying, like, when's the last time you gave God the glory for the little things in your life? Praise God that I was able to, you know, not make a fool of myself in front of those people. Praise God that, you know, I was able to, you know, actually go to the gym even though I didn't want to, right? There's my life story right now. I don't want to go to the gym, but praise God that he allowed me to go and get through it, right? And to support my wife because, you know what? Because praise God that those things are able to happen. Right? I love my wife a lot. I'll do a lot of things for her, right? Sometimes you got to sacrifice. It's just part of it. What I'm saying is, when was the last time you gave God the glory for it? Oh man, I lifted this much weight and blah, blah, blah. Who cares? You can only do it because of God. And as soon as you start thinking it was because of you, man, I'd be watching your knee next time you do it. God will show you something. I know the guy who holds lightning in a bottle, right? I know the guy who controls the ins and the outs. I know the guy who, you know, oh, I can do this and I can do that. And, yeah, you're right. You can. Why can you do it? Clarify that to me. Right? We go to work, we go around the people in our lives, whether they're saved or lost, and we start talking about, oh, I did this, and I did that, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and well, cool. You know what I really want to ask those people? How are you able to do that? Right? You know what I really want to ask myself when I say those stupid things? How am I able to do that? Well, why am I even alive still to have the ability to do those things? Why didn't God strike me dead the first time I rejected him? And the second and the third and however many other times, I'm only able to do anything in my life because of Christ. And as soon as we start thinking that we have anything to do with it, man, we've got it all wrong. God allows us. Don't forget that, right? God allows us. Who are you giving the glory to? Right? When you lay down in bed at night and you're like, man, at least I made it through the day. Who are you giving the glory to? Because it's the Lord that I didn't fall asleep while I was driving today. It's of the Lord that I didn't completely fall all the way off the scaffolding, right? It's of the Lord that whatever it is, who are we giving the glory to? Here's the second bonus question for you, because sometimes they're good. Does God get all the victories or just the spiritual ones? Because we like to give God all the spiritual victories, right? Because we're spiritual. But does God get all the victories? I'm not saying. I'm just saying sometimes we got to check ourselves before we wreck ourselves, because we like to think we're pretty hot stuff sometimes. I like to think that I'm pretty hot stuff sometimes. And God's like, humility, son. Humility, daughter. Right? Make sure you understand that you can't do anything without Christ. The verse says, I can do all things through Christ. That means without him, I could do nothing. Right? Without him, I would be hopeless. Wretched, poor, blind, naked, right? Is what the verse says. We would be nothing. Remember where we're at. And I really wanted to get done with this because it really wraps up nicely. But we're going to have to come back next week and finish this thing up. But, you know, who are we giving the glory to? Those are the first three questions. And there's a couple more to really wrap this thing up. But, man, what is it going to take for you to go all in? What is it going to take for you to realize that the poor, lame beggar is in your life every day? They were born poor, right? They were born in sin, and they need somebody to heal them. And the only thing that you have to offer them is Jesus. So anyway, let's pray and we'll get out of here. We'll have to wrap up next week. Come back. It's good. It really wraps up nicely. And I'm not trying to twist anybody's arm, guys, but I'm telling you, if you're not into this kind of stuff, this is what the book of Acts is teaching us. And this is where God has us as a class, not just me, but us. And so we need to, it's time to put our big boy pants on, big girl pants on, because the Lord's ready to really use us, and He's stretching us and allowing us if we would be willing. Let's pray. Father, I love You. I thank You for today. I thank You for being good to us. And I thank You for passages like this that most people would read right over and think, oh, that's a cool story that happened a long time ago. But God, this is so much bigger than that. You're calling us. You're calling all men everywhere to repent, but You're calling all Christians everywhere to lay down themselves and their wants and desires and their, you know, time and talent and treasure. And You're asking them to just give it to You and allow You to steward it. Allow You to use it as You would see fit so that You would get the glory for all of our lives and not just the quote-unquote spiritual things. God, I pray that You would just continue to convict our hearts, my heart included, to just go a little deeper, to give a little more, to go a little farther, to stretch. Because, Lord, that's what You've called us to do. You gave everything for us. And the fact that I'm still breathing tells me that I need to give a little more for You. So, Lord, I pray You would convict us. Bless the service today as we just have the graduation service. I pray be with Luke as he preaches today. And I just encourage the students who are graduating, and this is a really awesome time for their life. I just pray that You get the honor and the glory for all those things, the things we prayed about earlier, and even the unspoken things that I know are going on in people's lives. I pray that You would just meet people's needs and just allow them to be the hands and feet of You throughout all of it. In Christ's name, amen.